morning and welcome if you've just woken up. It's late. Where have you been? You know, some people wake up nice and early. And I noticed there were a lot of cars on the road this morning. It always gives me the indication that the economy is healthy. If there's nobody and nothing's happening, it's bad. It's like a zombie apocalypse or something. I always think, what if today's the zombie apocalypse? What if today someone bites someone and they become a zombie and I have to be ready for that? That's why I'm growing a vegetable garden. You know I'm growing a vegetable garden now.
I believe so.
Well, I haven't started with the vegetables yet. I'm still building it,
I believe so. Yeah. Good morning. It's good to be on the show if you've just joined us. Thank you.
So what do you think I should plant in my veggie garden?
Well, I was discussing a moment ago that potatoes are up by 40%.
Are they really?
Yeah, seriously.
So
I said potatoes would be. But you know what? Can I tell you what we used to grow in our garden?
What?
Because we're Lebanese. Danya.
What's Danya?
Or Kazabro, we've said.
What is that?
Coriander.
Oh, no.
So
no.
You know what you should start with? You should start with a small herb. Herb garden's a nice way to start.
Yeah.
It's a lovely way to start. Mint grows like wildfire. Basil.
I like mint. Basil,
It's nice to have little pots and start like that.
This is how you know you're getting old, because you like things like a vegetable garden.
And I mean, I don't have one myself.
It used to be like, what are we doing this weekend? Now it's, what vegetables do you want to grow?
But I think you're going to have so much fun. Tomatoes grow beautifully if you pick the right type of tomatoes.
Yeah.
But isn't it cool to be able to go to your own garden and pick something?
Absolutely.
So I think it's
being self-sustaining.
Yeah, I think it's a fun thing to do. It's a fun thing.
We will be joined by David Fleminger a little bit later on. He is from the Joburg Heritage Foundation. We'll find out about this city and what you don't know about all the amazing stuff that is going on in Joburg. And there's so many places you can visit, things you can do that people don't care about, because you immediately think, oh, I've got to get out of Joburg to have fun. I've got to go to Cape Town. I've got to go overseas. I've got to do something really expensive. You don't. There's plenty to do here. And let me tell you the history of this place. Oh, there we go. There's my veggie garden. Isn't that impressive?
Wow, that's amazing. So you,
no, it's not mine. But look.
Oh, look where we are. Right, all now. Of a sudden, I'm in Kirstenbosch.
That's lovely, guys. Beautiful.
It's beautiful.
Of course, I didn't grow all of this at all.
That was the hand of God.
At the end of winter, I'd be very impressed.
Yeah. And Cape Town's looking this good, by the way.
I know.
A lot of water, a lot of rain.
Yeah. No, it's very good. But don't worry. Because Alan's going to Greece, so he doesn't care about any of this.
Where nothing much grows there. Because it's quite arid.
Well, it's very arid. Yeah. And they've had those terrible fires. All right, but let's get back to this. You were talking just before we took a break about sport, and a big part of this is this weekend, because South Africa's winning everywhere. We've even got some medals at the Paralympics now.
Yeah.
We did well at the Olympics.
Correct.
We're winning at rugby.
Yep.
So we're winning everywhere we go, which is terrific. I love it. Makes me very proud, makes me very happy. I'm not the biggest sports fan in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know that about me, but this is something I can get into.
We've got Gates and McKenzie putting money into sport. Good.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good
thing. But what is the problem with these New Zealanders? Are they being oversensitive, or did we really screw up?
We screwed up.
Because you're a production guy.
And I don't often say that.
What happened?
Okay, so the haka is a... Is like their prayer.
It's a religious ritual.
It's a ritual that holds some spiritual sense.
Okay.
So let's take religion out of it. So it.
It looks stupid and ridiculous, but that's just me.
But it holds some spiritual space, and to have a Boeing come over as they're doing it,
drown them out,
and then to have the DJ in Ellis Park. Miss the cue and put the music on in the middle of it, and everyone starts singing.
It's a bit disrespectful.
South African rugby has apologized profusely, said it'll never happen again, and they apologize. But how stupid is the DJ? I'm going to put the music up. But you know, where's your brain, dude? Where is your brain?
Do we need a stadium DJ?
You do, because it brings a lot of chaos. But I hope they don't hire that DJ again.
All right. Well, it caused a lot of trouble.
You know, Gareth, do we call it an international sporting incident?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Sporting incident. This is
it. And do you know what? Everyone
created an incident.
I've got to tell you something. Our rugby's so great at the moment. It really is. What we've got to be careful of is that people are gunning for us.
Yeah, they're looking for a reason.
They're looking for a reason. So the Irish hate us, and the Australians hate us. We just beat them. And And New Zealanders and South African, and I know there are some of the rugby players as well, my mates.
Yeah.
And they love the New Zealand. They get on well.
Yeah.
They clash with the Titans on the field. But let's not be offensive. It's unnecessary.
Yeah, we just...
Look what Peter says.
Peter says, fuck their haka. They could do it in the change rooms. No other team has this privilege. Screw the haka.
Peter has a point in terms of what...
Peter, I'm with you.
But again, it's... listen, I just think it's a cool thing to see. And it's a spiritual thing. And it's a war. No, it's a warrior thing.
It's entertainment.
Thing,
come
and
on.
And it's a warrior thing.
So speaking of entertainment...
It's like us having our Zulus, you know, the Zulus, the MPs come on. Yeah. It's a similar concept. So why be rude? But South African rugby has said we made a mistake.
Very rude.
We made a mistake. We apologize.
Don't be rude.
Don't be rude.
Like, have manners.
Just be kind. Right?
Just manners.
Don't be grumpy and rude. It's unnecessary.
All right. I like it. Alan Ford basically he single-handedly keeps the theater business going in South Africa.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do. You go to every show. You do. You're supporting them. You like it, but you're also supporting them. You're one of maybe three people I know in the whole country who goes to these things, but thank God for you, because otherwise these performers wouldn't have anyone to perform to.
No, it's not the case. There's a lot of people that support the theatre, but I've got to tell you, we can't lose out on how important this industry is. And I want to tell you, there's some fun things happening. We've got Mafia Lady coming.
What? Really?
Yeah, it would be great to see Craig Abani on that stage.
All right.
We love Craig.
Yeah.
We've got Mark Lottering starting this week at Peter Turin, which is awesome.
Okay, Mark Lottering's terrific.
I saw a show last week, was mind blown, by a guy called Daniel Anderson.
Yeah, what is it?
It's called Vincent, based on the life of Vincent Van Gogh.
Painter?
The painter. But
who cut his ear off.
But a phenomenal story. I didn't know. I mean, I've been to Provence in France, where this orange house is, where he had...
He painted his sunflowers.
Yeah, but they tell the whole story, and it was amazing. So there's lots of theatre things happening. Kurt Darren is taking to the stages of the teatro. By the way,
what's he doing?
He's going to be singing with friends, and I think it's going to be such a jewel. I love Kurt. So these are all happening. Please go buy the tickets. Support the arts. There's really cool stuff happening. Lambda's got stuff happening in Cape Town.
Gayton should make you Deputy Minister of Arts and Culture.
Because we've got to support our artists.
Focused on sport, but this stuff needs support as well.
I went to see Karin Zoid's show. I was blown away by her show. Her musical show is excellent, and she's having a big art exhibition happening on the 6th. So just go to Karin's, and it's phenomenal art. She's planning to set up an artist retreat, like where you can go for 6 months. And
where?
In Piketsburg, which is one of the
where the hell's that?
Just outside of Cape Town, about 60 or 70 kilometers outside of Cape Town.
Does she live there?
No, she doesn't live there, but it's going to be this artist colony like they have in France.
I don't know if
it's going to be not for us. I don't know how to paint. You're not going to be doing a painting. You actually are bad at painting.
No, I can paint.
Yeah, you can paint.
But I wouldn't want to go to an artist retreat. I can imagine that.
I think it's quite bohemian and quite fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she's having this art auction, by the way. It's called Die Wereld.
Okay.
Look up Karin Zoid, and you must. But our artists and our musicians are doing great things.
Yeah,
and our theatre people are. I mean, Mamma Mia was fantastic. Spring Awakening this year was one of the best shows I've ever seen.
See what I mean? He does. He goes to. I'm not saying it as an insult. I think it's terrific that there are people like you who've kept the arts alive. I haven't been to the theatre for I don't know over a decade.
And you used to love it, eh? Mm. You used to. You did. You loved Les Mis back in the day. Don't act. Come on, don't act.
Hell, I don't. Now, wild horses couldn't drag me to those things. I immediately sit down and I go.
Yeah. Well, there's lots of fun things happening. There's the children's theatre. It's a great way for kids to do it. The pantomime's coming.
Artist retreats are fantastic, says Carol. Why? What have you done there?
Carol, the opening one in Piketsburg. Look up Karin Zoid. Go to her Instagram page, and that's going to be really cool.
We all know theater freaks have OnlyFans accounts where they make money. Do you think that's true,
Matthew? Some of them are really hot, so I'm going to follow them. Thanks, Matt. Thanks for telling me.
Azalea says, guys, the timing would have been great, but the Maori King passed on, which resulted in the New Zealand team taking a moment of silence before they started the haka. Oh, the Maori King died.
Oh,
so that compounds the problem.
Okay.
Makes it even worse. Now it's very rude.
And you Azalea, that's very correct, because they said their timing was out. So the plane, you remember, you had a Boeing coming over.
Yeah.
So they did say that the timing was all off.
So maybe they shouldn't have taken their moment of silence then.
Okay, so point taken. I didn't know that.
It is hard to put these things together. You imagine you've got to talk to a pilot in a plane who's got to fly over at exactly the right time. You've got people who are ready to play music. You've got the actual performance on the field. You've got the anthems. And it's a difficult thing to coordinate.
And you missed out on time. Because of course.
Did you watch that Olympic opening ceremony? What did you think of that? Because I wanted to know your thoughts. You liked theatre, but you
man.
You liked it?
What a load of crap. such rubbish.
Firstly, a lot of crap.
The camera work that was going on that. I mean, you couldn't see any of the players because they had drones, obviously. And because it's not protected by, like it was in the stadium, there was water spots, obviously, from the rain all over the drone. So you couldn't see anything. We were watching watermarks all over the opening ceremony. And then they had this man running around in a mask all through the Louvre and trying to steal the Mona Lisa. What was he doing? He looked like he was high and absent. And then and then we got to, I'm not even getting, and we had Lady Gaga with the pink feathers. I know they were from South Africa. Go with John's DNA and the feathers from the ostrich farm. And then all of a sudden, it was a mess.
So you didn't like it?
I thought the sentiment was right. And then all of a sudden, they got to the Last Supper thing, and no one knows what they were doing. And we didn't, wanted to be woke, so we thought we'll do drag queens and fashion, and we'll make it on the...
Did it upset you a little bit? You think they were being disrespectful?
You know, I didn't pick it up, eh? So, but I just thought it was unnecessary controversy. The French are so much more than what they did. And they just, I expected more from the French. And that's why I think Los Angeles is going to be so great. I mean, China was phenomenal.
Yeah.
When they had the fireworks, when you were walking through the whole of Beijing and they had, you could see footsteps running and fireworks. I mean, that's mind blowing. When they had thousands of drummers.
Yeah.
And that's a show. To me, a guy running through a city that you filmed before with a Lady Gaga that's got nothing to do with France. The only thing
shame was, you see old Celine Dion.
That was beautiful.
No, shame.
And that was beautiful.
They wheeled her in. I mean, she's it's bad. Hey, have you seen what she goes through? That poor woman.
No, but
horrible.
But it was beautiful what they did there. So Celine made it, and that Eiffel Tower was magnificent. And I like the sentiment of going through the city. I thought the sentiment was right. But I mean, the kids are watching. Do we need to see a woman in a green screen with a hanging head for Marie Antoinette?
Did you see the guy whose balls popped
that was
up?
I looked like the stocking broke and the fat was out.
You don't think his balls popped
up? No, it was just fat. But I mean, it was just so. But the whole thing was unnecessary. And then I would have gone on as Macron. I mean, the Pope commented. Everyone commented. I mean, it's like, come on, man. The whole thing's ridiculous. I mean, and you know what? This is the sad thing, is it took away from the point of the Olympics, which is these athletes
who spend
their lives working so hard.
Because there were a bunch of people who said they were going to boycott it just because of that opening ceremony.
I
remember.
And so the athletes are these superstars that did the greatest, great things. And it took the focus off, the first week took the focus on all the great athletes.
Yeah, I agree.
And that's the Olympics. The Olympics is about the athletes.
Well, one of the other things that we're going to do this morning is talk a little bit about the history of Joburg. And I think that this will be exactly up most people's streets. David Fleminger will be joining us in a short while. He is an author, a scriptwriter, and also a director. He's been working in the media business for 25 years. He's published a couple of travel books, and then decided to get stuck into history in Johannesburg. So he's currently the chair of the Joburg Heritage Foundation, which is a position which allows him to pursue his interests in heritage, tourism, and development. We'll find out a little bit about what those are. I did get a chance, since he's come up a couple of times in the show this morning, to talk to the Minister of Arts and Culture about the city library, for example. We've got this beautiful library in Johannesburg. I mean, I know people don't go to libraries anymore, you know. Who goes to a library when you can hop on the internet? But there's precious stuff in there, like they're books that they're not on the internet and they're not being printed anymore.
And I mean,
do you care about that stuff?
Of course I care about it. I mean, not only that, but you know what? We're not monetizing what we can do in the city, because that could be a beautiful place to do to have a wedding venue.
Oh yeah,
like they're doing in Cape Town.
Yeah.
There's beautiful places like the Johannesburg Art Gallery that you can do some beautiful stuff in, or the Old Civic Center. There's stuff you can do. And that inner city project was working at one point in time, if you remember, in the 2000s.
Yeah, Maboneng and all that stuff. It's still going.
But they were trying to rebuild that hole where the Standard Bank District is and where all the and so I don't know what's happened to that project.
I wondered about Ellis Park on Saturday, because that's obviously in a part of Joburg which is not so great.
No, it ain't great.
I mean,
that turf, you know, that Troyville Hotel, it's still rocking, eh? People love going there for some prawns and
really
having a vibe.
It's a thing.
It's a thing. I mean, I don't drink anything, but people make it their local, and it's
really cool, Troyville Hotel,
And it's right outside Ellis Park. But they cleaned up the streets for the event, so they obviously. But the streets should be clean all the time.
That's the point.
I'm hoping that this new GNU.
Government of National Unity.
Yeah, I wasn't talking about
the actual wildebeest.
I wasn't wildebeest, but this new government really could start to fix up and clean up the cities and get stuff right. You know, Cape Town has it right, eh? They have it right.
Would you live in Cape Town?
I did, and now I live in Johannesburg. Joburg is, I love Joburg. Joburg's my home. I was born and bred in Johannesburg, in Gauteng. Between Joburg and Pretoria, I think we've got two magnificent cities.
Mm-hmm.
And I dig it here. Joburg's got
energy,
pulse,
man.
Energy.
It's good energy.
Cape Town is lethargic. They're half asleep. Everybody's in a digitalist diner, or they artist colonies like Corin's really want to do that.
Yeah, they like that stuff.
It's all that stuff. And you're either there to because you're hot, because you're going to marry someone rich, or you're retired, or you're loafing off somebody, or you want to get high, or you just want to party, or drink wine. I mean,
I'm going to record that.
Joburg is where the serious people are.
Okay,
Cape Town people are not are always late. I mean, half your business is based in Cape Town, by the way. So, I'm not knocking Cape Town. I'm just saying it's a different world.
No, I don't disagree.
It's a different world.
All right, I'm just looking at the comments here. Libraries are beautiful. We love Cape Town, says Carol. Yeah, we're not saying Cape Town's terrible. That's it. That's all. What book can you find in the library that you can't find on the internet, Gareth? Libraries are a white elephant. Yeah, but you know what? There's something about a first edition book that is the experience of it that you don't get from Kindle. I'm sorry. I'll die on this hill. I love books.
And
can I
tell you something? There are kids that need places to go and study for their exams.
Yes.
And there's free entry into the library to go. And
well, not the Joburg one, because it's been closed for like 4 years.
But you understand what I'm saying? If they opened it, Gareth, kids can go and study in the library. People from Wits University can go and study in the library. Mm. There's a place for libraries. And
I agree.
I'm not the biggest and the most avid reader, but I'm telling you, there's a place for a library.
Wow, somebody asked here, what does Alan think of this new free bleeding fad? I don't know what that is.
What's free bleeding?
What's free bleeding? Does anybody want to explain that a little bit?
Can you look it up?
Yeah, I don't know what this is.
No, I haven't heard of it.
But it came up in the comments. So if anybody knows a little bit more about that.
Free bleeding sounds like hemorrhoids. I mean,
Slippery Pickles with me on books. Pretoria is better than Joburg, says Matthew. Even grumpy old Gareth knows that. I love Pretoria. But I do love Joburg too. There's stuff.
Yeah. Are we like, there's a lot of grumpy coming up. Are we grumpy old men?
People in general are. I don't think I'm having a grumpy day. I'm loving today.
I'm also loving today.
David says libraries have a big place in society. I studied all my university life at the Sandton Library.
Yeah. So, and I must tell you, I also used to go there a lot. Also, a great
really?
Library. Yeah. I used to go study at the Sandton Library because it was too noisy in the house. We had a big house, but we were Lebanese, so we're noisy. Cooking, screaming,
screaming.
Having a go. It was nice to go and sit at the Sandton Library to go study, and the library at Wits. Libraries are important.
This is amazing. Grant says in the comments, he goes every week to get his kids some books. It's a great outing, and they love it. That is amazing.
Could you remember that, Gare? You used to go in, and they used to stamp your book. And you had a week to read your book, and then you'd take it back.
You'd have to bring it back.
And I a few times didn't take it back, so I got fined. But,
There was a story not so long ago about the book that has the biggest fine because it's been
really,
yeah, about like three generations of people somewhere in America have kept this book, and the fines just keep adding up and up and up. And they're like, oh, it's not worth giving the book back.
But I think that's kind of cool. That's really cool. So, and what happened? Anyway, libraries are good. So hopefully Gayton will sort it out. I like Gayton's our guy. He's cool.
Somebody here hanging out with Jay says, I still go and sit and read in a library. Shout out to the City of Joburg Bromhof Randburg Library. So they are there. People are using them.
Yeah.
Not a lot of people, but they're using them. I like this.
That's good. That is very.
Have you heard of something called a puzzle library?
No, but it sounds fascinating.
So it's where you go in and you'd build a puzzle. And
yeah.
They keep all these puzzles. So I can imagine nothing worse, but some people I think would like it.
Yeah. We did an 1800 piece puzzle recently.
On holiday?
No, we did it on our dining room table on holiday. It's like at night coming off.
This is what you did for fun?
Rian loves it. I am the worst. I filmed it. I pretended I was a part of it. I really. I
think you didn't take part.
I got three. I probably got about five of the 1800.
Free bleeding is where women stop using menstrual products and just free bleed.
Oh.
Oh. Do you have any comments on that at all, Elle?
Wow.
No.
I don't have a wife and never will. And I have daughters, so I wouldn't have to comment on. So but it would be quite messy.
Yeah, I don't know.
And it would be going against the project where everyone's trying to give girls that are getting very embarrassed by menstruation.
We don't have to talk
pads
about this.
And stuff.
I'm okay. Then I'm okay if we leave it off for today. We've got enough to talk about.
Gareth and I, Gareth really got hurled.
So I mean,
it's a natural process.
You've had this interesting journey with weight. I see that Gayton McKenzie, who we've been speaking about virtually all morning, he's lost 13 kilograms since he started as Minister of Sport, which is pretty damn good.
I think that's awesome.
It's hard to lose that kind of weight. You know this.
But I like where he's putting his money, where his mouth is. So I've started out with boxing.
Oh.
Yeah, I've got Joe. And we box on a Tuesday. So Rian goes one, and it's not easy. Eh? We've got 8 minutes. It's 1 minute, 1 minute, 1 minute.
You both doing boxing.
We box together. Okay. 1 minute. And it's great. So yeah. So I want to pledge. I want to join the minister and lose 13 kilos. I actually would love to be able to do it today because I've got to Greece tomorrow. But I don't think I'll lose 13 kilos.
All right,
but of course, we've always been popping our Zempic and doing all that type of stuff. So.
Have you been?
I did, but my body became a bit immune to it. That took too much. Yeah, I lost a lot. I mean, I lost like 15 kilos.
You were abusing Ozempic.
No, I wasn't abusing it. I was just.
You said you took too much.
I was shooting up too much.
You abused it. You were abusing Ozempic.
I was taking it for too long.
Elle, you're the only person I've ever met who was abusing Ozempic.
I was overusing Ozempic and I became a bit. Is the word immune?
No, you can't become immune to it.
Not immune where the drug doesn't work on you anymore. The medicine doesn't work.
Yeah, well, it's immune, but you can't become immune to Ozempic.
Oh, yes, you can.
How much were you using?
I was just having a normal dose, just that they give you.
Elle, this is very dangerous. Do you know that you're messing with your kidneys?
No, I was taking
liver.
Guys, I was doing it. I wasn't.
Elle.
I'm not lying to you.
There are
I'm
doctors not, right now who are screaming.
I took the normal dose of Ozempic, but I took it regularly for 18 months. And now the weight was not, I wasn't losing the weight.
Really? So it's not a...
And I was doing intermittent fasting. But it worked brilliantly. Eh?
So it did work? Or
yeah. Yeah.
Even worked. Though you were abusing it?
And I wasn't abusing it, Gareth. It became... I was on the highest dose and it couldn't go... I couldn't take more.
You were abusing it. That's what that's called.
Anyway, geez, I'm
thank you know God someone
will, thank the, God I
you know when they prescribe. You know when they prescribe one pill twice a day? You take two twice a day.
I didn't do that. I didn't abuse. I took the regular shot.
But it didn't work, you say. And then you say
it doesn't work after 18 months. I became immune. Maybe I stopped the intermittent fasting as well. And I started eating chuckle.
It's very bad, Elle. It's very, very bad. All right, let's talk about Joburg because I'm really excited to get into this. And I think it's something that those of us who live in and work in this city care about. David Fleminger, as I mentioned earlier, is an author, scriptwriter, and a director. He's been in the media business for 25 years. He's actually been on the show with us before as well. And David, it's nice to have you here. We've been talking a little bit about Joburg before you even joined us. I love this place. There's some things about Joburg that are really worth celebrating and getting to know about, if you don't already. And there's stuff worth saving as well, which is partly what you do with the Joburg Heritage Foundation. How are you?
Yes, I'm good. Thanks, Gareth. Good to be on. It's been many years since I was last here.
What were we talking about last time?
I think we were talking about my book on the Kruger Park, if I'm not mistaken, that I wrote a while ago.
What the fuck are you doing, James?
It was. The mic is flaccid, Gareth.
You might have to hold it.
I might have to hold it, yeah.
Al, do you want to sort out the flaccid mic?
Let me help. I think we're okay. I think we're okay now.
Al's very good.
Okay, there we go.
All right. So
hi, David. How you doing?
Hey, good and you, Al.
Good, thanks.
Good.
So tell us quickly how you got involved in the Joburg Heritage Foundation, because it's interesting to know everybody's own reasons for being in there.
Good question. Something I ask myself every now and then. As you said, we live in Joburg. It's a difficult city to love, but those who love it, love it. You know, once it gets in your bones.
You think it's a difficult city to
love? Yeah, it is a difficult city to love. It's not like.
Because of the drugs and crime and Nigerians and knifings and.
Well, lots of cities have all that. Lots of cities have all that. Yeah, but, sure. You know, Joburg is not easy to get into. Other cities in South Africa and around the world, they are much more open and accessible, especially for visitors or tourists. Yeah. You know, where to go, you know where the centers are, you know where the hubs are and the vibe is. Joburg, you got to know. You got to know the ins and outs and the nooks and the crannies and the neighborhoods. It's not an easily accessible city.
That's a good point.
I've found. You kind of need to be a local.
Yeah, I agree.
A little bit.
Agreed.
And it is difficult, especially in the last 10 years. I mean, we've all seen Joburg slowly decay and collapse and just, you know, neglect, mismanagement, whatever. There's a lot not right with Johannesburg City.
So the first thing that people will say is that surely because it's called the Joburg Heritage Foundation, that's almost a bit of a misnomer because Joburg's only about 120 years old.
Yes.
So it's not. How can you have heritage when it's within the lifespan of a very old person?
Well, heritage is many things. And one of the things in terms of our legislation is any building older than 60 years is automatically considered heritage.
Hmm.
That means that many of our suburbs are now becoming heritage. Per the legislation, if you want to develop or adapt or modify a heritage building under the legislation, you need to get authorization from the Provincial Heritage Resource Agency.
Really?
That's legislation. Yeah, absolutely. Huh. Mm-hmm. So you need to actually be aware of these legislation and the heritage laws around what you can and can't do. So I love history. I've always loved history. I like to know, for history, for me, history isn't so much the when, it's more the why. Why are we like this? What happened in the past to get us to this current status quo that we're in? So I've always liked history, and I love Joburg.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but Joburg is one of the only cities in the world that isn't built on a major waterway, and that isn't based in on a coast or at a port or any of those things. Most cities grow up around a river or a port or a, you know, some sort of coastal thing, and the reason for that is obviously gold.
Correct.
You know, that was why Joburg was founded, and so it has a very different character to the rest of the world. The other thing about Joburg that's fascinating is that we have an artificial rainforest here that we've created.
Yeah.
We have more trees and plants in the northern suburbs that certainly are not meant to be in the savannah of, you know, what's essentially like the Transvaal.
Well, we're in a grassland.
Yeah.
We should be, the felt is what, what we should have.
So it breaks the norms in a couple of ways.
Very, a lot of ways. Joburg, as you said, is only here because of the gold. It's a terrible place for a city. We're very high up. We've got no regular water supply, which is why we had to build those massive dams in Lesotho and get the water pumping in from Lesotho. And we are only here for the gold. There are a couple of other cities like this in Texas. They've got a couple of oil cities, which are there for the oil.
Yeah.
But really, there was Heidelberg, there was Pretoria, and up in the Highveld, there was nothing. Yeah. There was like small settlements because it's a terrible place to build a massive metropolis. It really is.
Oh, you're doing a great job.
Yeah, I
Joburg.
Am. We need to know who we are. We are strange people living in a strange city in a strange time. So you know, embrace it. Embrace the strangeness.
Okay, I love this.
You asked how I got involved in the first place. And I saw that the Heritage Foundation, of course, I'd heard about them. I knew about them. This was about 2019, I would say. And they were offering tourist guide training courses for free.
Okay.
I thought, I didn't have much to do at that time. It was like one day a week for a few weeks. And I got involved, and then I got involved. And the organization was founded in 85, specifically to protect the homes of Parktown. And then in 2012, it expanded Joburg-wide and became a much more diverse and much more all-encompassing organization. So I started getting involved, helping them update some of their stuff, organizing online bookings for the tours that they run every week.
And just by the way, you're doing this as a volunteer.
All volunteer driven.
Right, so you're not being paid to do this. This is a, when people talk about, well, I do some things, some nice things for charity or whatever. Like, this is a proper commitment. And as you said, you got involved, which means...
Difference,
what do they say? The difference between the pig and the chicken at breakfast, right? Is that the chicken is involved, the pig is committed.
Well, I've become the pig. I've got to say, I've become the pig. But yes, it is entirely volunteer driven, which is a remarkable thing in its own right. That it's not just me, it's an entire team of people who are passionate about
Joburg.
How
many people are we talking about?
We've got, only got about 450 paid up members, but actually our management and our kind of active committees that actually do the work, two dozen, three dozen perhaps, of hardcore inner people.
Get Alan on, he's very passionate.
Come on, Alan, we're always looking.
Well, I'll tell you something, this is a great city, and the city, and we talk about Sir Herbert Baker and, of course, all those fancy, lovely things. And the ghost tours, which I've done, which is kind of fun.
I'm going to correct you there, but carry on.
Okay. But you know what's so interesting about Johannesburg is about the people that came here to mine.
Yeah.
So you had Afrikaans people. You had then the Lebanese, the Greeks, the Jews. And you had Soweto, the Southwest Township, which was linked to the mining. And so you had – so we had this – This Nguni populace coming in. You had the Indian community, which is, I mean, you go to the Oriental Plaza, they call it Foodsburg now, just that one street, Mint Road, is filled with the most phenomenal food. So you had all these wonderfully interesting, crazy people coming in who were kind of all, and I'm talking about, you're right, 140 years ago, they came in to the city, okay, in 1886 through to the early 1900s, brought their cultures, built their churches, built their synagogues, built their mosques. And so you have such an eclectic city.
Yeah. Of
people. It really is.
And so what people don't understand, what came with an eclectic city came eclectic buildings, eclectic food, eclectic restaurants, and that heritage. And so Joburg doesn't sit as just like you described it initially. It sits with all these microcosms of communities that have contributed into this crazy.
No, I like that.
And that's what makes our food in the city so great. So, yes, you're going to get your fufu shishi stuff all in Cape Town. You get all that crazy stuff. Mm-hmm. But you're going to find the great Giovanni restaurants and the good Chinese food in Little Chinatown. And that is what Joburg's about. And that's why I'm so happy to endorse what you're talking about. Because I think we've got it here.
Well, I've always said that Joburg is a city of immigrants. There was nobody here first. Mm. You know, everybody came with the gold. And because our gold on the main reef is actually a very low-grade reef, it's very big, but it's not a high-quality gold. It requires a lot of services to support the gold mining industry. So that's why all these people came in to support the industries. Mm. And it is. It's a very rich tapestry of people, of cultures. And the thing about Joburg is, I find, which is what I love about the city, it's not full of airs and graces. It is what it is. You are who you are. I like you. I like you. I don't like you. I'll tell you. It's a no bullshit place.
And that's what reminds me a little bit of New York when we talk about Joburg. It's one of the reasons I could feel more at home in New York than I did in LA, for example. But if people come here, like American guests I had earlier this year, you always go, well, where do we take them? What do you want to see in Joburg? Because there isn't really a plan. Like, you can hop on in any major city, you can hop on those open buses and you can go to all the sites around the city. But in Joburg, people are like, well, what do I really want to see? So just give us a top five and then let's talk about some of these.
Not so easy, because it depends on what you like.
Exactly.
You know, do you like shopping? Right. Then you must go to the shopping malls. Do you like heritage and history.
But you can shop anywhere. That's terrible.
So Gareth, there is obviously the whole political side of Johannesburg. But for example, Vilakazi Street, and then of course you can go tours of Soweto. There's all that side,
yeah, of course.
And then of course the Apartheid Museum, and you've also got the Gold Reef City, which is kind of a fun little spot if you still want to.
Hey, I like Gold Reef City. I like a roller coaster.
Yeah. You know, and it tells you about the history of mining as well. So there's that side of it, and then, but I'm on your point. What else is there? Besides just Sandton City Shopping Centre, good food places.
I would say that, as you say, apart from the Lily's Leafs farms and the Con Hill, which is fantastic, by the way, and you know those kinds of political, as you said, places. I would say the neighbourhoods. You know, go and explore Greenside. Go and explore Parktown, Parkhurst rather. Go and explore the remaining high streets that we have. Those are interesting.
I can already hear people from the rest of South Africa going, what neighborhoods? You Joburg people have such high walls that there are no such thing as neighborhoods. I mean, a little bit further afield, there obviously are places like Murupeng. And this is valuable to all of humanity. Correct. We've got the cradle of humankind. And there's so many places just outside of Joburg that are fascinating. And we've got the ability for people to stay in a hotel here in Sandton and hop in a car and it'd be in a nature reserve within an hour or two.
Pietersburg is exactly an hour and 40 minutes if you go from four ways.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But even in the south, there's that other one,
Klipriviersburg and Klipriviers, so also one of the things that I should say that one of my favorite things to do in Joburg is I walk the Lynxfield Ridge.
Oh, wow.
And we actually do that as part of, so the Heritage Foundation does walking tours. Pretty much one a week.
What do you see up on the Lynxfield Ridge? Dead bodies?
No, it's beautiful up there. It's absolutely, they cleared all the dead bodies out years ago. It's fine. No, it's something we're working on because the ridge is actually undeclared property. And there's a section of the ridge which is totally undeveloped. It's undeclared. I've been trying through the Heritage Foundation to get the city to actually develop some walking paths and put up some signage. And
so what do you find up there? Animals?
I haven't seen any animals. I'm sure they're there because it is actually quite untouched.
Well, the homeless people get in there, they'll eat them.
So the funny thing is, I've been walking up on the ridge for about 4 or 5 years now. And when I first started walking, you could see signs of people living up there.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
Really?
The residents have got armed responses walking up and down the ridge. And I have not seen any signs lately.
Okay.
We do see some church groups go up there to pray, and there are a couple of things like that. But the views are spectacular over Johannesburg, especially in Jacaranda season.
Yeah,
and it's a beautiful place. You feel like you're out of the city.
Okay, one of the other things that I love about Joburg, and I've been threatening to do this for a long time. I've been to some of these places because there have been events there. But these, you mentioned that the Joburg Heritage Foundation started with these beautiful houses, these Randlord's houses, which are spectacular.
Yeah.
I mean, they really are magnificent architecturally. Mm-hmm. A lot of them still have the original interiors. Some of them are still homes that people live in.
Some of it's Hollard Insurance, but
we thank Hollard for their good work on keeping up Villa Arcadia. It looks amazing.
And
I've meant it in a good way. Yeah.
And by the way, a great venue for anybody to use for almost anything. So,
and Villa Arcadia is an interesting little thing because my dad was the one who first built that pool for the orphanage. Because that was the old Jewish orphanage.
It was the home of Lionel Phillips.
Yes.
And then it was bought by the Jewish Orphanage Society, and it was the Jewish orphanage for many years.
And my dad built the pool there. For the orphans.
For the orphans.
No, they did it.
No one cares about the orphans anymore, Al.
But
no one's looking after the orphans anymore. How often do you hear people go, I did this for the orphans? Not anymore.
My dad built the sparkle pools. It did the...
Okay, well, that's nice.
One of his first things that they did there, actually. Yeah. That's why I was always had it for there. But a beautiful building.
Beautiful building.
Beautiful building.
And there are quite a few of those, and that is one of our more popular choices to do the Randlord Mansions.
What's your favorite one? I mean, if you were in Joburg for a couple of days and you wanted to see one of those houses and you wanted to go out to, you know, game reserve or whatever.
So again, they're not all easily accessible. Mm. They're all open to the public on a daily basis, which is one of the problems. I think probably the most spectacular is Dolobran. which is the one as you come up the M1 highway, just going over the ridge, coming down into Braamfontein.
On the right.
On the right is Northwoods. So okay. Northwoods is the classic Herbert Baker mansion, beautiful home, stone. Exceptional stone, dressed stone, copy stone, and Baker. You can get into all the beautiful. Baker's things. Across the road, across the highway is De Lobren. It's the weird onion domed house,
yes,
with a weather vane on top. I always thought it looked like a bit haunted, yeah, and like a little bit like abandoned or whatever.
Aren't they a bit haunted, some of these places?
Well, this one I always thought it was, because it looked like a picture of a haunted house I read in a book as a child. And I always thought as a kid, that house is definitely haunted. It's in the same family, five generations later.
Yeah.
It is immaculate. It is as it was when they first built the house. And it's a spectacular home. But you can't get in. We get in maybe once a year. We get a special permission to do tours of De Lobren. I think that's my favorite. And also Tracy's Folly. It's called Beauvais, technically, but it's also called Tracy's Folly. If you're coming up Sylvia's Pass, there is on your right-hand side a big Cape Dutch gabled house that you can see from just about anywhere on that side of the ridge. It's a big white facade with Cape Dutch gables. That's perched right on the edge of the ridge with the most spectacular views. And it's a beautiful home. And that's a business now, which we also get into every now and then.
Listen, it's amazing. I became a real Google Earth nerd for a while when they first started, making it accessible to the public. You could see these satellite sort of pictures. There are some big, beautiful houses in Joburg. I mean, some of them are obviously in private hands and they're not open for tours. But I've been around Joburg and I've been invited to things. And you go to people's houses and you think, my God, anywhere else in the world, this would be the most spectacular address you could have.
And it was probably the 60s and 70s.
The gardens, the houses. I mean, this stuff, I don't know how anyone could think that Joburg's boring if they've been to some of those houses in Parktown. And
Joburg is the biggest bargain in the world right now when it comes to property. I mean, you can buy things in Joburg that you could not buy for a triple the price anywhere else in the world. We are blessed with space, and we are blessed with large homes and large gardens and large, I go overseas and I see how my friends are living, and it's wonderful. You know, you're living in these metropolises, but you've got no space. It's tiny. Your apartment's tiny. Your life is very small. It works to our advantage and our disadvantage because we don't leave our homes. We stay in our homes because we're comfortable and we've got our space.
And
we
people don't entertain go out at home. Much. I mean, I've noticed that, especially since COVID, a lot of people aren't going out to do things. They're inviting people they want to them, rather.
I want to bring up a political question. We're now sitting now with this new dispensation. Okay. How badly did this wars of the parties and the councils stuff up the city? Because a mayor changes every week.
I'm so damn
bored of these crappy politicians, these rubbish politicians.
The deer in the headlights. He always struck me as the deer in the headlights.
But they're rubbish. They're a bunch of rubbish fools. You are rubbish. Rubbishes should be taken off earth.
Here we go.
How much is that stuffed up the city?
Severely. The short answer is severely.
Rubbishes.
And the simple reason is that Joburg suffers terribly from poor management. And this constant changing and churn in the city is impossible to work with. So, I mean, we can talk about this in more detail later, but we are dealing with...
I'm not laughing at the problem, by the way.
I got that.
he looks at me.
They're rubbish dogs. You rubbish dog.
But he's right.
And Joburg people, politicians in this city has stuffed it up, including Herbert Mashaba. I add you to the rubbishes.
Brave words.
Yeah, why not?
No.
Would the city look great? It worked well under him, eh? Don't talk nonsense.
We're not going to name names. You can name names. I'm not going to name names.
Listen.
What I will say is that...
All right,
Al, calm down.
Sorry, I'm a
fear. There's been a complete lack of management. Mm-hmm. There's been neglect. Lack of management. There's corruption, like
the
all
CBD,
that stuff.
The CBD, there's that disaster. One street that exploded
a year ago,
a year or two,
a year and a half.
It still hasn't been fixed. You can't go there. Fixed. And the place is, it's got a huge, it looks like you spoke about Pompeii earlier. It looks like an ancient ruin.
Let's correct something. Carlos wants to know, David said he was going to correct Alan on the ghost tours.
Oh, I'm so sorry. No. Okay.
Tell me about the ghost tours.
Very quickly. So the ghost tours is done by a very great guy, Mark Rose Christie. He specialized in ghost tours.
I did it a while ago.
Yes. And he does his ghost tours, and they're great, they're fun, they're wonderful. We don't do a ghost tour, and he's not part of us.
Okay.
We do our own tours, and they are either going to be about a heritage home or a neighborhood that people don't know about so well. I do a murder tour, which is actually a great tour, because there are some really twisted true crime murders.
By Daisy DeMarco's house.
Daisy DeMarco is one.
So,
never mind Daisy's house in Turfantine. So Daisy miscarried her kids in Turfantine.
She
murdered her husbands in Bertram's.
Ah!
So Bertram's. Block away from Daisy DeMarco's house was the house of Ronald Birch's mother. And Ronald Birch chopped up his wife and then dropped different parts of her body in three different lakes around Johannesburg.
Was Bruma one of the lakes?
Not Bruma. It hadn't been built yet. Okay. It was Wemapan.
Oh. Wemapan.
Wemapan. Yeah. And then I can't remember the second
one.
That
sounds fascinating.
And the head was found in Zoo Lake.
Oh, Jesus.
So he was known as the Zoo Lake murder.
Oh.
And there are lots of really creepy, weird murders. Not ghosts,
so I want to do the murder.
The murder and madness tour. It's actually great fun.
See, now that sounds like fun.
It's great fun.
I'm going to on a tour in Greece, and I want to just spark something in your brain.
Sure.
They take you to Athens, and they do a food tour.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it might be something to consider. I don't know if you do it. Because it would be great to do a food tour starting in Fordsburg with a lovely Indian foods as we move in through to the more eclectic food you're finding in Greece. Because there could be a food trail.
Yep, absolutely.
You could make one. You always invent things. Why not?
Sure.
Alan, I think you should become one of our guides.
Well, someone says in the comments here, Azalea says, Alan should be mayor of Joburg.
I'd support you. Not an easy job, Alan.
This is your next evolution.
It's not an easy job, I got to tell you.
Be mayor of
Joburg. No one's saying that it's – nothing is meant to be easy. But it needs to be fixed and done.
So I'll tell you,
and it can be done.
So the Heritage Foundation does our tours. We do. We have a massive research center, which has really got some really important stuff in it. We have educational tours for school kids. We do. We run these HPCs, Joint Heritage Plans Committees, which help residents and developers comply with heritage legislation.
Mm.
This is all voluntary. But what we have been doing a lot in the last year or so is advocacy and activism for Joburg, specifically the inner city. Okay. We've been brought in to
That's great.
Advise and consult, and we are getting a very in-depth look at how the city works and doesn't work. And one thing I can tell you, because we're working on about four or five different projects and different degrees in the inner city, trying to restore these abandoned buildings, because we know an abandoned building is a building at risk. We know that.
Yeah.
So, you know, we have to do something.
I think kudos to the banks who have maintained their place in the CBD because they've really kept it alive to a large degree.
We're hoping to try and regenerate that, or at least play a part in regenerating, because it's going to take a big effort to turn the city around.
How can people support the Joburg Heritage Foundation? Because it wouldn't be right for me to invite you here and then not give you an opportunity to find...
For a punt.
Yeah, to find support, and there may be people who want to volunteer their time.
We'd love that. So the quickest and easiest way to support us is to become a member. It's a very nominal fee. I think it's 490 Rand a year, and that gets you discounted rates to all our tours and advance notice of events and mailing lists and things like that. So that's a quick, easy way. Become a member.
Right.
We do a lot of really, really good work, and we need the money. We are totally self-funded. We don't get any support from the government or anything like that. The second thing is go to our website, joburgheritage.org.za, go to our Facebook page, go to our Instagram page, follow us, get involved. If you want to get involved as a volunteer, please email us, get in touch. We'd love to hear from you.
I think it's great, and we'll put all the details in the description of the episode today so you can get involved if you want to. I think it's a terrific initiative, and I think it's so good that you're in charge there because you're clearly passionate about it, which I love. There are things about Joburg, though, that people also, unless someone tells them about it, they'll never know. Al, you often go to what used to be Madiba's house, which has now been turned into a boutique hotel.
Yeah, boutique hotel, stunning in Houghton,
My favorite place in the CBD is a place called Collector's Treasury.
Sure.
I mean, this is a building. It's got like five floors. It's packed to the rafters. You have to walk through there with gloves and a dust mask, mm-hmm. and you find amazing stuff, old records, books, incredible stuff. There's really the most insane stuff there. And it's been run by these two brothers for the last 80 years.
Yeah. The Klaas brothers.
They find out when some old ladies died. They go to the estate auction usually.
Sounds brilliant.
Buy the stuff, and then they say, well, who wants to buy this? Well,
what I love about Collector's Treasury is they don't seem too concerned whether they sell anything or not.
No.
they're
if you didn't know it was there, you'd drive right past it.
Absolutely. And you know that there are 70 bookshops in the inner city.
That's incredible.
There are 70 bookshops. A guy called Griffin Shea is trying to organize a literary district to build awareness around that. He runs a couple of them. And there's actually quite an active literary scene.
Amazing.
in and around Joburg. But you've got to know and you've got to go and find these things. They're not open to you.
And I want to give it a punt from a fashion point of view. The Plaza is still phenomenal.
Best of Moose's in Joburg.
And the Plaza is great. And I know I was born in Mayfair. And I can tell you now, the Plaza is where I was shopping as a little kid to get some outfits.
I remember.
And I still go shopping. Calix is in the Plaza now.
Did you get this Plaza's at the Plaza?
No, this I got from Ralph Lauren in America. But, speak to someone at the Plaza. I know a lot of people. And you go to Kasim's or you go to one of those stores, yeah. they'll import it for you from America.
So you know that samosa shop in the corner, yes, of the famous one.
The thousand-year
world of samosas. Okay, yeah. Best samosas in Joburg. Do you know how many samosas they make a day? I asked them.
How many?
9,000 samosas a day.
And do you know that?
At least.
Because people come and get the frozen, the boxes. Wow.
The boxes,
the
yeah,
boxes from absolutely. Them. Do you know that? Most of the samosas that you're getting around Joburg are from, I mean, the Indian, magnificent Indian flavors and cultures that come from that part of just this. I'm giving it a punt because it's stunning.
And there's a whole history about that as well. Mm. Fordsburg has a difficult history. It was site of forced removals, of page yeah. view, and the Oriental Plaza was the result of forced removals. Mm. They removed them from their homes in Fitas and page view, mm. and they built the Oriental Plaza as a kind of mm. consolation.
Yeah. Now, and Fitas, isn't that like a really, really hilarious place as well, if you want to go people viewing?
Yes.
This is not very politically
really?
Correct.
Yes.
Oh yeah, you get a game drive vehicle and you drive through, and then you can see like these terrible inbred down and out.
Listen, I can tell you that you could do a game drive through Parkhurst as well and get just as good a people watching experience, just on the other side of the spectrum.
Yeah, you're right.
And Parkhurst itself is beautiful. The parks are stunning. I mean, people are. And I want to tell you, because we did it for Rian's birthday, we went down to Delta Park.
Yeah.
And we had a party, a picnic in the park. And again, such a beautiful place to we've got lovely parks.
So if you ask me my favorite place in Johannesburg, like on a day-to-day basis, it's actually the park where I walk my dogs, James and Ethel Gray in Melrose.
That's beautiful.
It's an amazing park. It's a phenomenal park, amazing views over the ridge with the Joburg General Hospital and all of that kind of stuff. It's a great community. It's wonderful. I go daily, and that's my safe, my sanity space. And our parks are remarkable.
They really are.
And I wish we had more of them. Especially in the poorer and less advantaged areas. Parks, for me, are a heartbeat of the community.
Yeah,
and absolutely. Green spaces. I'm a big, big proponent of parks.
I love this. So Carl says, fuck you guys. You've got me so excited about our city. Lovely stuff, man. So this is the stuff we want.
And I want to add one other thing. That if you – there's a lady that cleaned up Ponte, and if you manage to get in there, there's a games room area and a little restaurant there. And Ponte's been – Ponte's
really?
A bit of a joy.
So now I've got to tell you about Ponte.
Her name is Tina. She was a cuckoo.
Ponte has completely reinvented itself.
Yeah.
It's fully let. It's clean. It's well run. It's
no way.
And there's an organization called Tlala Nye who run tours of Ponte. And if you haven't, it's absolutely essential that you do a Ponte tour.
And you go to the bottom, to this rock, and you can take
the best selfie in Joburg.
The best selfie through the whole of Ponte.
Yeah.
It is really great.
It's a brilliant
tour. But wasn't at a point, it was like the worst rubbish dump in
was,
the...
Did you know that it was... Yeah. And not only that, they found dead bodies, eh? And there were...
Joburg.
It was
you've got to love Joburg.
You love it.
That was in the 2000s. I mean, that was in the 2000s. But that... It's
they literally... So, you know, the inner core of Ponte is hollow, obviously, famously so. And people were dumping their trash out the windows into the inner core. It got up, the estimates vary, about 12 floors.
No!
About 12 floors of solid garbage that all had to be cleaned out. That all had to be cleaned out. And you know what they've done now? Because, you know, Joburg has made a plan to stop this. They've welded all the interior windows shut. So now you literally cannot throw anything out into the center core.
And I did a huge story on it. So it was really, what a great place.
It's a great, tour. It's a brilliant tour.
12 floors of rubbish.
12 floors of rubbish.
Joburg is definitely not like anywhere else.
Yeah. No, it's not. It's not. But the friendliest people come from Joburg.
They do.
And I mean, this is common That's knowledge. True. You know, we are open. We're friendly, generally speaking. You know, we meet people, we immediately bring them in, we warm.
And that's what the difference between Joburg, Durban, and Cape Town is. Because actually, we should be called the friendly city.
I agree.
Then if you get on the wrong side, we'll smash you up. So that's,
yeah,
so that's
exactly.
So we're also the club city. So we're the bipolar city.
We'll smash you up.
We're the no bullshit city, Gary.
Oh, okay,
so we love you. Saying. We'll take you in. And then if you really mess with us, we'll just buff you. But that's what I'm saying.
Absolutely. I always say Joburg is not a pretty city, but it's got the friendliest people.
It's got incredible.
Cape Town is a pretty city.
And we leave it at that. All right. Listen, this has been lots of fun.
I'm back to Joburg because I love the city so much.
Guys, thank you. This is terrific. I can only wish the Joburg Heritage Foundation luck and all the good things. And we'll continue, I hope, to support you in numbers. Al, enjoyed Greece.
I want to tell you one other thing quickly. Coming up this month, they're doing at the zoo, artists at the zoo with the Joburg Theatre.
Yes.
So also at night, lots of things happen in the zoo.
Okay.
Okay.
Lots of things happen in the zoo at night.
Yeah.
Wow.
Lots of music festivals, the zoo at night, lights for your kids. Just giving that a punt.
Okay. And can I give a very last punt before
we go?
Yeah.
Go.
14th and 15th of September is our Heritage Weekend.
Yes.
That is our annual Heritage Weekend.
Because it is
weekend.
Heritage Month.
It's Heritage Month in September. So we have our Heritage Weekend. We're running a total of 12 tours over Saturday and Sunday. Three in the morning, three in the afternoon, Saturday and Sunday. All at discounted rates. We consider everybody a member. We give them all a discounted rate.
Oh, wow.
Please go online. Find out more about it. We have some amazing tours run by our volunteer guides, all starting at Holy Family College in Parktown, which is itself a wonderful heritage site.
Fantastic.
So, you know, please find out more about it. Get involved. Come and talk to us. We'd love to have you on board. And let's work to try and fix the city together because it's up to us.
It's not up. We don't know who the mayor is. So.
No, it frankly, no. Yeah.
Okay. No, it's
rubbishes.
What's his name now? Dalla Morero.
Morero.
He's the new one.
Who cares? Correct.
No, Al, he's
it'll change next week. Why remember
all
the
right.
name?
Al, you're going to Greece. You've got to get your blood pressure down. You're going to have a thrombosis in your leg on the plane on the way there. We don't want this. We want to be calm. No. Nice holiday.
I'll tell
happy
you all
thought,
about
breathe.
Greece.
Don't think
Venice.
About Mama Joy. Don't think about Dada Morero and the city of Joburg.
So far, I was grumpy this morning.
And don't think about people who post videos of snow on Table Mountain. Just happy thoughts.
Happy thoughts.
Okay. I'm going to get you nice and ready for your holiday now. Alan Ford, David Fleminger, both of you, thank you very, very much.
Thank
and
you.
Most especially, thank you to you. We will see you on Friday right here for more.